Hi, friends, and welcome to the Voices of MCC podcast. Our hope is that you will be encouraged in your faith as you hear how MCC beliefs and practices are fleshed out in the daily lives of the members of our fellowship and in regards to our gatherings as well, as we have today an opportunity to think about our gatherings and especially our Sunday gathering for worship. I am happy to have Pastor Adam Anderson and also Caleb Sheffield join me on the Voices of MCC podcast for what I think is going to be a fun conversation between three friends and brothers, but also an important conversation for churches at this stage of evangelicalism in the midst of COVID, and also for where we're at in terms of the world and thoughts about how we do ministry and why. So I am happy to have you brothers with me today for folks to be encouraged and also for us all to be instructed. I want to begin with giving Pastor Adam an opportunity, and after that, Caleb, to share how you came to MCC, and after that, we'll begin to speak specifically about worship. But Pastor Adam, some folks don't know that MCC existed just a little bit before you, but you've been a part of our church since its beginning. But share with us what that was like in terms of coming to MCC.
Well, it was in the spring of 1999, and Julia and I were expecting our first, Jaden, who's hard to say. It's like he's going to be 22 years old this May. But we were expecting him, and we had come over from a little church that Pastor Ron McElnay, who's now with the Lord, he was leading a small church off Mission Road, and he had befriended the pastor who was at the time at the church that met in our building, and we felt led to start attending that church, and we enjoyed the expository preaching and just the vibrancy of the fellowship and things. And it was not long after we had started attending that there was a meeting of some kind that happened, and some things fell apart, but other things came together. And in that time, it had transitioned from a congregational-led church to an elder-led one, and they started formulating what was to become the Master's Community Church. And it was not long after that that I had begun leading music, and others who were very capable of doing so could have done it. And I don't know, it just seemed to just the Lord's providence just kind of landed on my shoulders. And in that time, just, it wasn't long after that, you and Julie started attending, and the emphasis on the Word of God being preached faithfully, book by book, verse by verse. That's the, really how we started. And that was in 99. I think it was March or April of 99 when we started attending. And I don't know exactly when. I want to say it would have been probably in the months of June, July, something like that. Maybe it became Masters, and we've been there the whole time. So, and it's been great. I've loved being there and seeing the way the Lord has worked just through thick and thin, you know. Yeah. It's been amazing.
Fun to think of 20 plus years of most Sundays, probably 95% of Sundays of the year, 90%, something like that, you leading worship. What fun. Caleb, you have been with us not quite as long, but in a short time, a huge impact that you have been able to make in MCC with your gifting in terms of music and leadership. Catch listeners up. When did you come to MCC?
We joined MCC in the summer of 2014. We had just moved down from where I attended school for the job that I currently work at. I'm in engineering. I went to school up in South Dakota, and God provided a job for me here in Kansas City. And so Laura and I, and at the time, KJ and Keith, we already had two little ones, moved down to Kansas City, where we knew no one. And by God's grace, we found Masters Community Church. We actually, as far as looking for a church, we knew that we would, we were looking for a church that was just obviously biblical, but we were really looking for something as far as the family and had the biblical stance on family and marriage. And we actually found, I believe, Masters through the website, through the Masters website. So shout out there to the website. And I remember reading through the statement of faith, and there was a designated section on family at the end, and that kind of drew us in that way. And our first Sunday, we ended up meeting the pastor, Pastor Todd, who happened to be from Nebraska, where Laura and I were from, and it was from that point on mutual, I guess, being from Nebraska-ness that, but no, I mean, we were just welcomed with the love that always, just outflows from those at Masters, and fell in love, and we've been here ever since, coming up on 7 years now. So a short time, but getting up there, I guess.
Yeah. And with the newer members, the last 7 years, you're like an old timer. So
yeah,
I remember, Caleb, when we first met, and you from Nebraska and from McCook, and I know people from McCook, played football in McCook in high school, and South Dakota School of Mines, which I had friends want to go to South Dakota School of Mines or Colorado School of Mines out of high school, engineers, you know, they want to be engineers. Those are the two primary top schools students would vie for. And then we started talking about Tommy Frazier, and it's like, I feel like I've known this guy all of my life. And so very, very fun and grateful to have you all as a part of things. Now, most listeners will know that Pastor Adam, you play guitar and lead vocally, and Caleb plays piano, leads vocally as well. Recently, we have the cajon, if I'm pronouncing that correctly,
yes,
that Caleb will play some. So let's talk about instruments for just a few moments. Pastor Adam, playing guitar each week, how does instrumentation play into your philosophy of worship at a church?
Interesting question. I've never really thought about it from that angle, but I think instrumentation, well, when I first started sort of integrating guitar, you know, playing acoustic guitar is not really all that, like, it's not all that scandalous because it's kind of a more mellow instrument and things like that. And there's certainly a lot of things that I don't do just because of the atmosphere and things like that. There's things that I just do at home that I would never do in front of people in a worship setting. But anyway, in terms of instrumentation and a sort of the philosophy, I think there is, there's always going to be something of an aesthetic driven element when we deal with worship music, such that, you know, there is an appropriate place for certain kinds of instruments for the kind of song that you're doing, where in other cases it's not so good. And so piano is such a universally accepted instrument. It can, you know, you can do a lot of things very efficiently on a piano just because you're using all 10 fingers. Where on a guitar, that's harder to do in a lot of cases, to try to fill out the sound and things like that, and just the limitations of just only having 6 strings and 4 fingers, or if you do 2-hand stuff, I don't know. But in terms of instrumentation, I think it's just a marriage of what is the song about, and what's the mood, the feel of the song, and how is that best conveyed by a set of instruments? We're blessed to have very talented instrumentalists. We have a couple of flautists, a couple of gals play violin. Caleb sometimes beats on a box, the cajon. it's just a box. But others have done that as well. We got bass player, the cajon, guitar, piano, and I also use a guitar synthesizer, which I've only ever used the string orchestra sound, and that's been to just fill out the sound where if the guitar is not there, it's I've gotten so used to the guitar and my synth being on that it sounds like there's somebody missing. That's something that just in terms of instrumentation, we try to be tasteful with it and not to be, you know, overbearing. And every now and then I'm told to turn my guitar down when we're checking sound and stuff like that. I'm like, wait a minute, that's a guitar players aren't supposed to turn down. That's wrong. But
yes, this gets right to the heart of it. And I asked the question in terms of instrumentation and the contribution it makes or relation to the philosophy of worship. Mm-hmm. And this leads us to thinking about the bigger picture. And you said it right there without even me prompting. What is the song about? Yeah. And I recall when we first came to MCC, and a comment that I've heard other people make is that the music is at the service of ideas. Mm-hmm. It accompanies, it truly accompanies the word of God that's preached, the message, the ideas of the songs. And in our day, and you mentioned earlier, in our church, there is a wealth of talent. And folks come and they say that, and they say, you know, there's a lot of skill here. And that skill could show off. You mentioned, Pastor Adam, that there's a lot that you don't do on the stage, but we've had music nights where you do some of that. Caleb, I've heard you on the fly play Happy Birthday to a Kid in a way that would be, you know, all jazzed up on the piano, just to, you know, right there on a Sunday morning or something. And there's a lot of talent that could show off, but it doesn't. It's always at the accompaniment of the words and the ideas. Caleb, when you think about just the contribution of the piano, especially, or the cajon, more broadly, perhaps the bass that is beside you, how do you see that interplay of musical instruments and words in songs?
I think as we mentioned already, the instrumentation is sort of secondary to the voices singing. Not to say that they're any less important necessarily. I think the ways in which we use the instruments, the idea is to, sort of enhance or turn hearts or, you know, create a sort of mood that accompanies, as you put, the words that we're singing. You know, it's really, there is the importance of the words that we sing and really just the voices singing together. That should be the priority versus, you know, having instruments, you know, and hearing more of the instruments, I guess is what I'm trying to say. In other words, if the instruments are drowning out the sound of the voices of the congregation, or you know, if the piano is just too loud or the cajon is just distracting in any way, then that's unhealthy, I guess. And so again, the priority should be such that we can hear one another singing. I think that's sort of my philosophy in worship, and the instrumentalists are sort of just and again, I don't want to say they're unimportant or anything. They're there to facilitate and help in the singing of the song of the and not just kind of being a show, or if that makes sense.
It does. Yes, that's, I think, where we're at. And I appreciate that so much about the chorale. And again, Adam, your leadership in that, and Caleb, your participation is rich. Caleb, when you think about that interplay with the congregation, are there any particular songs that when you see that on the lineup, whether you're playing that week or you're not, that you, but especially if you're playing, you're like, I'm excited to hear the congregation sing this. I'm excited to play. Any particular songs that just get you going?
Oh man. Particular songs. It's hard because there's so many, whether it's playing, or just singing. I think honestly, honestly, some of my favorite times in worship is a cappella singing. And that's I've always enjoyed singing as well as playing piano, especially with in a choral setting. And so when there's parts going on, four-part harmonies, things like that, that to me is one of the richest times, because you're truly, singing and you can just hear everyone. Other songs I know that, specific songs, I guess, that I think of, that are just so familiar with the congregation. Those are also songs that I would see. And I just know that this is, just a song that's suited for, and in some ways, I'm tempted to just give it like an MCC label, because we've done it enough, and everyone knows the song, and there's just a lot more sort of gusto when we sing it. The truths of the song just sort of ring out in a way that might not with, maybe a newer song. But that can range from some of the classic hymns that we do. Great is Thy Faithfulness comes to mind. But also newer songs, that we've also learned. His Mercy Is More is one that it's simple enough that it's so easy to learn. And as many times as we've done, and I know that everyone's going to participate well, I should say, in singing it. Those, I would say, just when I see a song that I just know, hey, everyone's going to just sing along and worship in this song, through this song. That would be my response.
I agree that the times where we have a song that we go a cappella for a particular stanza or a slide, I agree. It brings out the tone, and it brings out the voices so much. Pastor Adam, how about you? What are there particular songs that you enjoy singing and interacting with the congregation in?
Yeah, and kind of to sort of backtrack a little on sort of a philosophy of worship ministry that kind of at least drives some of my choices of favorite songs. If I could plug a couple books, I don't know if this is appropriate to do, but David Peterson wrote a book called Engaging with God, which is a biblical theology of worship. So he walks all through the Old and the New Testament about the sort of the progress of revelation and the how worship is understood throughout Scripture. And then he had another book that was kind of a follow-up to that called Engaging with God Together. And in that book, something that he addresses that I think is in both is the idea that when we gather for worship, there's going to be music where when we're singing, we are singing either to God, God is the audience, or we sing to one another, something along the lines of like Colossians 3:16, let the word of God dwell richly among you, singing to, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And then songs that are more of a testimony. So God being the audience, one another being the audience, and then I can't remember the third category now. It's escaping me, but Along those lines, there are great songs that are that way. Like for one that I really enjoy doing is the song "I Will Glory in My Redeemer," which is something of a testimonial, where we're singing to one another or even to ourselves, just affirming the reality of God's work in our own hearts. Then there are others that are more where God is the audience, something like "Wonderful, Merciful Savior," or even "Be Thou My Vision," which we're actually singing that tomorrow. Or like Caleb mentioned, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." That's a classic hymn, you know. And then there are others that are just more, I guess, how would you say, they are more, devotional is not the right word, maybe creedal, where we are affirming certain truths about God or theological truth that we're singing about to one another or to God. And some of those are even borrowed from the Psalms, which of course is filled with that. That was what the book of Psalms was the songbook of Israel. And so there is a lot of truth in there. So like a song like "By Grace Alone," which is taken from Psalm 130, "Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord, hear my voice of pleading." Or a verse like from Psalm 62, which had become a pretty popular song. "Oh, praise him, hallelujah, my delight and my reward," and so on. So there are, I don't really have a one and only favorite, although there are some, I don't know, probably "Great is thy faithfulness" is probably one of the, I don't know, it's very near and dear to me, but I think in terms of those categories, that those are ones that I enjoy.
I enjoy just you two reflecting on those songs. It makes me excited for when we are ready to sing again here tomorrow. We were recording on a Saturday night and tomorrow, and we've been thinking about worship lately in Second Chronicles. Over and over, the chronicler noting the importance of the Levites, the musicians, and even last week, as we joked in 2 Chronicles 34 there, where it's the Levites and the musicians who are monitoring the temple repair. And in our church, we could have that, where guys who are musicians and gals as well could in some ways oversee building projects. So it's fun to think about. You mentioned there, Adam, an important note in terms of worship with fellowship and what we sing to each other and the impact that that has and the stage that that sets for our church. Caleb, reflect on that for just a moment, if you would, for us. What is the relationship between worship on Sunday and the impact of fellowship in our gathering on Sunday?
Worship on Sunday, the impact of fellowship in our gatherings, in some ways, those just go to, you know, hand in hand. Without the worship involved in our fellowship, we just become sort of another social gathering, if that makes sense. Like, you can't really, just fellowship is so much more than just getting together and chit-chatting, as we've discussed so many times in our equipping hours through fellowship season. But when we worship, especially in song, there's just a sort of unique way in which that sort of togetherness of us singing together, of us being together and singing the song to a God, we're literally all doing the same thing in that moment. And our hearts, or hopefully our hearts, are all oriented towards God. And so this idea of fellowship, it just deepens that in so many ways. you know, on some, you know, there's the other idea is when we sing in settings outside of our worship gatherings, it's not quite the same, if that makes sense, whether we're by ourselves in our car or, you know, just humming along to a song, you know, while at home or something like that. Or even I would, you know, in some ways, even just, you know, your family worship, it's almost a breakaway from when we are gathered together as multiple families, singing, making melody to the Lord together. This is what, you know, sets it apart. And so many times in Psalms, we're called to sing with the people, right? We're, Psalm 149 is sing, verse 1 says, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. And so just being able to gather every Sunday and do that, as we're commanded in Scripture to do that, it's not just our duty as a result of this command, but really it's a result or response of recognizing who we are, and really what drives the whole reason for us fellowshipping together, and us acknowledging that in response, if that kind of makes sense.
Yes, I think that that's one element of the philosophy of worship at MCC that many people may not realize, that we are not just a show, though we have musicians who could put on a show. They are at the service of words and especially Scripture. And the result of that is that we recognize God and ascribe worth to him, but we build one another up, that we are in this together. And that sort of back and forth between focus on God and on one another, I think keeps a church healthy over time, and we grow together. Well, let's take a few minutes here, just a random question. So speed round here, 60 seconds or 2 minutes here, just to throw out some ideas. So thinking about music here, Pastor Adam, and then Caleb, I'll come to you. If you could go to any concert, let's just say concerts come back. Let's hope that they come back. So let's say this fall we're wide open with events. You could go to any concert this fall. Who would you like to go see?
Well, I'm a guitar player, and I've been one since I was like 10 years old. So if there were ever a concert or even like a guitar clinic or something like that, he's not a religious, you know, he's not a Christian artist as such, but probably somebody like Steve Morse. This guy's won so many Grammys, and he's like well respected by guitar players from almost any style. He can do classical, he can do country, of course, rock and jazz type stuff, and he's a great composer. Just his musical intelligence is, in my opinion, it's off the charts. And he does it with such ease that it's scary. No, but it's amazing. Yeah. I would love to go see just a guitar concert, and there's others. I mean, that's just one person I would love to see, but,
it's funny. You're opening us up to the world of guitarist views of one another. When Eddie Van Halen passed, I think it was David Crosby. Someone asked him about Eddie Van Halen. He said, "Oh, he's okay," or blah. You know, just how the competition. Are you kidding me? This is Eddie Van Halen. You know, and he's like, "Well, I didn't mean he's terrible. He's just not my style." So if there's somebody who's you hit it there. There's a variety of genres that the guitar is a part of. And yeah. So that's cool. Caleb, how about you?
Honestly, I'm not too into concerts myself. It's hard for me to really think of a specific musician. I enjoy just listening to, you know, kind of all sorts of instrumental type music. So whether it's a guitar playing or piano playing or both at the same time, even, which believe it or not happens. Other ideas would be just some sort of like choir. I think a big choir concert would be pretty cool to go and see, whether that's the Kansas City Symphony or something like that, or even something that kind of mixes kind of more some of the newer electronic sounds more classic kind of clashes, if that makes sense. You know, any of those. I would say, like, you know, maybe some of the, you know, like the bigger names in the Christian worship world. I think going to see some, you know, and sing along with some of those congregations would be kind of cool. That's not obviously a concert, right? As we've already established. But just thinking out loud, as far as if I had to go to someplace, the Sing conference came to mind, where you have almost a mixture there of worship and concerts, by the Gettys. And, so that would be my answer.
Sometime I'd love to be at a Michael W. Smith concert, where he could go on with his, you know, 40 years of music or something. Yeah. Just a little bit, I could hang with it. Yeah. Caleb, musicians who've influenced you, give us one or two.
Honestly, the first one I thought of was my piano teacher. I started piano pretty young. I think it was second grade when my parents, thankfully, put me into piano lessons. And I just, you know, love learning from my piano teacher. I love her as a person now, looking back. So I would say she was definitely one of the biggest influences, just to kind of get me started in music from the get-go and training on an instrument. Other musicians, it's hard to say. With the piano, I had you know, a lot of exposure to the classics, you know, all the big names in classical music. I would just say classical music in general would be the other influence. But then also maybe some of the newer names would be obviously like the Gettys, and just being able to sort of marry music to theology, and just deepening the ways in which we understand what music is and how it's used as a gift. And I think just having those sorts of people, you know, teaching me, teaching churches, teaching leaders and other, you know, obviously just a huge influence.
Pastor Adam, how about you?
In terms of Christian artists, one of my favorites, who I think is a real treasure, is Michael Card. He's done a few albums that are based on whole books of the Bible. There's one called Unveiled Hope, which is one based on the book of the Revelation, and one called Soul Anchor, which is about Hebrews. And so there are these songs that he, in my opinion, is just an outstanding craftsman with words. And being able to wed those words with great music. But the Gettys as well, they're excellent. And I'm really enjoying more recently, of course, a guy like Matt Boswell and Matt Papa are both very good. I enjoy what they're doing. It's very good stuff. In terms of like singer-songwriter type of music, especially Christian stuff. But, you know, there's a whole, I mean, I could tell you who my favorite musicians are of almost any style and say, oh, you know, Chick Corea or McCoy Tyner or John Coltrane or something like that. But since we don't do that in church, that's that's a different influence. But just in terms of Christian music, there are others too that Kayla brought up, like choral music. And that's something that I've gotten, I actually have a playlist for my Spotify that's all choral stuff. And it is fascinating, just the simplicity of the words, but the way they are sung, you know, you just add certain ideas to a certain chord progression or whatever, and the way it is sung, and it just gives a weight to what you're saying, you know, which is pretty much what we've been talking about here with, and the way that that can grip a person, the word of God set to music in a way that just, it can be very emotional, almost where you can't even sing, you know, where you start to weep in the middle of a song or something. But guys like that, like Michael Card, I think he does that. There's a couple of songs of his. There are, you know, Stephen Curtis Chapman, the Gettys have their songs, you know, there's a lot. But my go-to guy is Michael Card.
Yes, his albums are great. He does have a way with words. Take Up the Basin and Towel. Off of his, I think it's 10 Years Journey album or something like that early on. Mm. Such good stuff. Well, thinking about Kansas City for a moment, Caleb, if you had a choice to go to just one, Chiefs or Royals, which game would you go to?
Oh, boy. So I've actually never been to a Chiefs game. And yet I honestly think there's just something about baseball that's just, you know, I think it's maybe one point higher, one percentage point higher to where I'd prefer the Royals game. Part of that's maybe more the family atmosphere than the Chiefs. The Chiefs can get pretty rowdy. I guess it depends on what year we're talking to, maybe.
Yeah.
But no, that's a good one. I'll say Royals tonight. Ask me in a couple of days. We'll see.
There you go. Adam, how about you?
Oh, it's hands down the Chiefs. I mean, blue is my favorite color, but the Chiefs. I went. And my wife and I were talking about this last night. I have a related by marriage from a long time ago, actually. That a guy that used to work at Arrowhead. He worked in the weight room, and we actually got actual footballs from actual games, and posters and pennants from the Chiefs, but that was back when they really stunk. So, but Chiefs, I'm a Chiefs guy. I really, it's very masculine and loud, and it's just great. And it's so technical, you know, that's like, they're on a grid and they have to get to the end zone and so on.
Yes, we are blessed last few years to have some decent sports in Kansas City for sure, which wasn't that way for about 20 years. There was a dull lead here for Chiefs fans. Well, brothers, this has been a fun conversation. I'm thankful for the time that we could spend thinking about musical worship. And we try to help folks at MCC understand the way that music accompanies words, that words matter, and that worship is more than just the music. It's the sermon is directing us toward God, but also toward one another and fellowship and answers to prayer and praying together, scripture reading. These are all a part of worship, but you two help us, especially with music. And I know I speak for our whole church body when I say that we are grateful for your work and helping us to sing and praise God, recognize his value, his worth, and to build one another up in our faith and trusting him. And I do want to thank you guys as well for your contribution to the podcast with music. And so friends, what you hear on the front side and the back side of our conversation is Pastor Adam and Caleb playing together. And I do want to thank Alex Volkman for his work in producing the podcasts and putting them together. And until next time, Brothers, thank you for joining me, and we will look forward to connecting with you again on the Voices of MCC podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.